Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle.
See his banner go. Oh, I love that song. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out here. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, the 22nd of March, 2017. I'm going to be getting back into the book of Ezekiel and starting at chapter 30. And these are prophecies against other nations, continuing on. Today it starts with the prophecy against Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, for the reason that they helped Israel to avoid the judgment of Yahweh and added to their paganism with their pagan gods. But before we get into that, I'd like to announce that Eurofolk Radio was offering a feast day calendar depicting the Hebrew feast days according to Enoch's solar calendar. Brother Hebert of North Carolina has put this together, and it's full color on heavy paper, gloss paper. Each page depicts scenes from the Bible and from our Anglo-Saxon heritage. I have mine, and I really like it. If you would like a copy, just click on the Donate button at the top of the page, and send EFR a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar and to help EFR continue in operation. It isn't free for server time and stuff. Please put the word calendar in your message, and give us your mailing address, and you will get your calendar forthwith. And to get it in time for the new feast days, Passover is coming up, starting on the evening of Sunday, April 2nd at sundown. That's when Passover starts. So get yours in time for the feast days. I know you will completely enjoy it. I know I like mine a lot. There we go. A little sinus trouble and coughing today. It's cold and damp outside. The last blast of winter has hit us, and it's pretty miserable. So, good day to record. Let's get into chapter 30 of the book of Ezekiel. Verse 1, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord Yahweh. Howl, 3, 2, 1, 3. Alas for the day. Verse 3, for a day is near. The day of Yahweh is near. A day of clouds. 6051. It shall be an appointed time, 6256, for the nations. That's the time of judgment. Verse 4. A sword shall come upon Mitzrayim. Cush shall be in anguish. Let's stop right here. Cush is 3568, and that's the land and people of the South Nile Valley, descendants of Ham, son of Noah. That's Hebrew Cush. That's not Ethiopia. A sword shall come upon Mitzrayim. Cush shall be in anguish when the slain fall in Mitzrayim and they take away her multitude and her foundations are torn down. Cush and Put and Lud and all the mongrel people, that's 6154, Ereb and Kub, 3552, that's either Kub or Lub. It can be 3864 as well, that's Libya. And the sons of the land that are in league, that means they're all allied, shall fall with them by the sword, the allies of Egypt. Verse 6, thus says Yahweh, those who support 5564, Mitzrayim, shall fall. Its proud might shall come down from Migdol to Savannah. They shall fall by the sword, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 7, and they shall be desolate in the midst of desolate lands. And her cities shall be in the midst of cities that are laid waste. And they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have set a fire in Mitzrayim, and all who helped, 5826, shall be broken in pieces. Verse 9, and that day messengers shall go forth from before me in ships, 6718, to make Cush, dwelling securely, be afraid, 2729. And anguish shall come upon them as in the day of Mitzrayim, because lo, it comes. Verse 10, thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will also make the multitude of Mitzrayim to be exterminated, 7673, by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. He and the peoples with him, the ruthless of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land. And they shall draw their swords against all Mitzrayim and fill the land with the slain. Verse 12, I will make the rivers into dry land, 2724, and sell the land into the hand of evil men. I will make the land desolate and all that is in it by the hand of foreigners. I, Yahweh, have spoken. Verse 13. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will destroy the idols and cause worthless idolatry to end. And worthless idolatry is 457. To end from Noph, 5297, that's the city of Memphis, not Tennessee, Egypt. And no more will there be a prince of the land of Mitzrayim. I will put fear in the land of Mitzrayim. I will make Pathros desolate, and will set fire to Zoan, T-S-O-A-N, 6814. That's the city of Tanis that was built 7 years after Hebron in the northwest part of the Nile Delta. And you can reference Numbers 13:22 on that. I will make Pathros desolate and will set fire to Zoan and will execute judgment in No. 4996, that's the city of Thebes today. Verse 15, and I will pour out my fury upon Sin, 5512, that's in Aram, Assyria. It means clay, and it was the eastern frontier city of Egypt. I will pour out my fury upon Sin, the place of safety, 4581, that's Ma'uz, as strength of Mitzrayim, and I will cut off the multitude of No. Verse 16, I will set fire to Mitzrayim. Sin shall have great anguish, and No shall be torn apart, and Noph shall face adversaries daily. Verse 17, the young men of Awen, 206, that's the city of On or Heliopolis or several other names, and P. Beseth, 6364, that in modern days, that's Tel Basta, 30 miles north, northeast of Cairo. And Pi-Beseth shall fall by the sword, and these shall go into captivity. And Tachaponicus, 8471. Today it's called Tel Defene. That's 18 miles east-southeast from Tanis. And Tachaponicus, the day shall be darkened when I break the yoke of Mitzrayim. That's the yoke of oppression. And her proud might shall end there. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Those are the suburbs, the towns around it. Verse 19, thus I shall execute judgment in Mitzrayim, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. So he's going to put some devastation upon those people. And that ends that cup of coffee. Verse 20. It came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the seventh day of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, that's Ezekiel talking. Verse 21. Son of Adam, I have broken the arm, and that's the figurative of power, of Parao, king of Mitzrayim. And lo, it shall not be bound up, 2280, to give remedy, that's figuratively healed, to apply a bandage to bind it, to recover strength, to grasp the sword. In other words, his armies are going to be devastated. He will not be a threat. Verse 22, therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I am against Parao, king of Mitzrayim, and I will break his arms, the strong one and the one that was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall from his hand, and I will scatter Mitzrayim among the nations and will disperse them through the countries. Verse 24, I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babel and put my sword in his hand, but I will break Parao's arms, and he shall groan, 5008, before the groanings, 5009, of one fatally wounded, 2491. 5008 and 5009 are Aramaic. 5008 is Na'ak. And its only other use is at Job 24:12. It's only used twice in scriptures. And 5009 is the groanings, and that's Na'akoth. Verse 25. But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babel, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall. And they shall know that I am Yahweh when I put my sword into the hand of the king of Babel, and he shall stretch it out, 5186, over the land of Mitzrayim, and I will scatter the Mitzrayim among the nations and disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. They were teaching paganism to Israel when they sought refuge there, directly in violation to the command of Yahweh. So he's punishing this nation that helped apostate Israel remain in apostasy. Just, you know, he's going to use Nebuchadnezzar to punish all these surrounding nations. And then later on, he's going to use Koresh, king of Persia, who was a Yahweh worshiper, to rebuild The temple. After the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the second temple will be built. Later, that would be destroyed by the Romans after Yeshua's time. So, time doesn't mean anything to Yahweh. He does things when he wants to do things. He's not bound by time. He doesn't get old. We do. I can attest to that. Here I am. Oh, hot coffee. Here's chapter 31. This is a warning to Pharaoh. Just a second, folks. Verse 1 of chapter 31. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, speak to Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, and to his multitude. Who are you like, 18:19, in your magnificence? 1433. And 1433 has two different uses in context in this chapter. Verse 3. Behold, Asher, that's Assyria, was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shade-giving thicket. Of a lofty height, and his top was among the interwoven foliage, 5688, and the Septuagint has clouds for 5688. Verse 4, waters made him grow, 1431, that's great, the deep 8415 made him grow tall, and the deep 8415 refers to the branch of the Nile. Made him grow tall with rivers flowing all around his planting place. Okay. 4302, sending out watercourses. 8585 to all the trees of the field. Those are for irrigation. And the trees here are figurative of people. They do that a lot in the Hebrew. Verse 5. Therefore his height, 6967, was higher, 1361, than all the trees of the field, and his boughs, 5364, multiplied, and his branches, 6288, became long because of the abundant water when he shot forth, 7971. These are figurative of people. He had lots of people, and he became greater, and his branches, in other words, his influence, became long. Because of the abundant water, he had lots of people to conquer. The Assyrians were very mighty. Verse 6, all the birds of the sky nested in his boughs and under his branches. All the living creatures of the field brought forth their young. And in his shadow, 6738, that's a symbol for protection, dwelled all great nations. They all relied on the Assyrians. They were allies in subjection. Verse 7. He was beautiful in his greatness. There's 1433 again. Greatness and magnificence. In the length of his branches, because his root, 8328, was by abundant waters. And 8:3-8 is metaphorical for people. Verse 8, and you can reference verse 8 in Genesis 2, verse 9. The cedars in the garden of Elohim could not darken him. 6004 is dubious, darken. The fir trees, or cypress trees, 1265, were not like his boughs. And the plane trees, 6196, were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of Elohim was like him in beauty. Verse 9, I made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of Elohim envied him. 7065. Verse 10, therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, because he is lofty in height, and put his top among the interwoven foliage, and his heart is arrogant in its height. 7311, that is lifted up. Verse 11, I delivered him into the hand of the leader among the nations. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And foreigners, the ruthless among the nations, have cut him off and abandoned him upon the mountains, and in all his valleys have his branches have fallen. His boughs are broken. 7665, by all the streams of the land. And all the people of the land went down from his shade, that means went away from his protection, and abandoned him. So there's the Assyrians, Yahweh brought him down. Verse 13. Upon his ruins, 4658, all the birds of the sky shall dwell, and all the living creatures of the field shall be upon his branches. And 4658 is figurative of a fallen tree trunk. Verse 14, to the end that, 4616, none of any trees by the waters became lofty of height, nor put their tops among the interwoven foliage, nor their leaders stand up high, 1363, of all that drink water. Because all are given to death to the lowest parts of the land in the midst of the children of Adam with those that go down to the pit. 9:5-3. Verse 15. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, in the day he went down to Sheol, 7585, that's the land of the dead and its inhabitants, I caused a mourning. 5-6, people mourned over him. I covered the deep upon him and held back its streams, and the great waters were restrained. 3607. And I caused Lebanon to mourn over him, and all the trees of the field fainted over him. Now, trees of the field and waters are all metaphors for people. Figuratives for people. He smashed the Assyrians. Mighty, mighty Assyria. Verse 16, I made the nations shake at the sound of his overthrow when I cast him down to Sheol with those who go down into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choicest and best of Lebanon, all that drink water were consoled, 5162, in the lowest parts of the land. Again, all of these are figuratives for people. They also went down into Sheol with him to those that are slain with the sword, and those that were his arm, in other words, 2220 as supporters, that dwelt under his shade, 6738, again, a figurative for protection in the midst of the nations. Verse 18. To whom are you like thus in glory and magnificence among the trees of Eden? Yet you shall be brought down with the trees of Eden to the lowest part of the land, and you shall lie in the midst of those having foreskins, 6:1-8:9, with those slain by the sword. That means those are uncircumcised. With those slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, declares the Lord Yahweh. Trees are metaphors for people, nations, and races, just like the trees of the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. Asher was the first in power in that day, and Mitzrayim, Egypt, was second. Asher was brought down. And he was telling number two that he was going to be brought down too. So don't think you're so hot. I brought down the number one guy. I'm about to bring you down too. So let's get into chapter 32 of the book of Ezekiel. This is a dirge, like a funeral song, for Pharaoh. Let me get a drink of my hot cup of coffee. Oh, that's marvelous. I needed that. Verse 1 of 32. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 2, Son of Adam, lift up a dirge for Pharao, king of Mitzrayim, and say to him, You are like a young lion of the nations, and you are like a dragon. 8577, that's tining. That's a serpent, a dragon, a sea monster. You are like a dragon in the seas, bursting forth, 1518, from your rivers and stirring up, 1804, the waters with your feet, 7272. And stirring up, 1804, is always used with feet. Fouling, 7511, the rivers. 7511, that's fouling by stamping of feet or hooves. It's like coming up to a nice water hole and you're ready to get a drink, and a herd of horses has been there before you and you can't drink the water because it's all fouled, it's all muddy, and they've pooped in it and everything else. You can't. It ruined it. Verse 3, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will spread out my net over you with an assembly of many people, and they shall bring you up in my net. Verse 4, Then I will forsake you upon the ground, cast you forth upon the face of the field, and cause all the birds of the sky to dwell upon you, and satisfy, 7646, like satisfy with food, all the living creatures of the land with you. Verse 5, I will put your flesh upon the mountains and fill the valleys with your height. 7419, that's Ramuth, and that is unclear here. We're not really sure what that means. Verse 6, I will water, 8248, the land from the outflow, 6824, of your blood until the mountains and the streams are filled from you. That's filled with gore from the death of the Egyptians. In other words, his mighty army was going to be destroyed. The Babylonians were just going to wipe them out. That Mitzrayim is about to meet its end. Verse 7, when I extinguish you, 3518, I will cover the sky and make dark the stars. I will cover the sun with clouds, and the moon shall not give light. 3518, extinguish me, is like to a lamp is put out. And verse 7 here, you can reference Isaiah 13:10, Matthew 24, verse 29, Mark 13, verses 24 and 25, Luke chapter 21, verse 25, and Revelations chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, and chapter 8, verse 12, verse 8 of chapter 32. All the light of the luminaries of the sky, that's 3974 luminaries, I will make dark over you and put darkness, 2822, upon your land, says the Lord Yahweh. Verse 9. I will provoke to anger, 3707, the hearts of many people when I bring your breaking, 7667, and that's breaking and crushing, destruction by crushing. Bring your breaking among the nations into the countries which you never knew. Verse 10. Yea, I will make many people appalled at you, and their kings shall bristle with horror over you when I brandish my sword before them. 5774, brandished, it's to make fly to and fro, like waving that glittering sword of wrath. And they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life, in the day of your overthrow. So all the others are going to be scared by what he's doing to the Egyptians. Verse 11. Because thus says the Lord Yahweh, the sword of the king of Babel shall come upon you. Verse 12, by the swords of the mighty I will cause your multitude to fall, by the ruthless of the nations, all of them. They shall devastate the magnificence of Mitzrayim, and all the multitude of it shall be destroyed. That means the whole population. Verse 13, I will destroy all the cattle of it from beside the great waters. The feet of Adam shall not stir them up anymore, nor the hooves of beasts stir them up. And hooves is 6541. That's paresa. That's a hoof of a four-legged beast. And 929 here, Behemoth, because they use the word hooves, that designates four-legged beasts, not two. Verse 14, then I shall make their waters sink, 8257, to settle or grow clear, and cause their rivers to run like olive oil, 8081, that's pure, clear olive oil. because all of that will be gone and the waters will clear themselves. Verse 15, I shall make the land of Mitzrayim desolated, and the land shall be desolate of all in it when I smite all that dwell there, and then they shall know that I am Yahweh. I guess, after he does all of that, there's no mistaking what's coming. Let me get a hit of coffee. This is the dirge by which they shall chant, 6969, for her, for Mitzrayim, and for all her multitude, declares the Lord Yahweh. Now we start a part where Mitzrayim is in Sheol, the land of the dead. Verse 17, it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, lament for the multitude of Mitzrayim and bring them down with the daughters of the majestic nations. It's the towns and cities, daughters, it's figurative, to the lowest parts of the land, with those brought down to the pit. Verse 19, whom are you beyond in beauty? Go down and be laid with those with foreskins, 6189. Verse 20, they shall fall in the midst of those slain by the sword. Mitzrayim is given to the sword, drawn down with all her multitudes, drawn down as 4,900, as drawn down to death. Verse 21, the mighty heroes speak to him from the midst of Sheol with those that helped him. They have gone down and lie with foreskins, slain by the sword. In other words, these are all the non-Israelite nations, the ones that were uncircumcised. Asher is there with all her company. That's Assyria. Their graves are all around her, all of them slain, fallen by the sword. Verse 23, whose graves are set in the recesses, that's 3411, that's the lowest part, of the pit. Her company all around her grave, 6900, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, those who caused terror in the land of the living. Verse 24, there also is Elam, E-Y-L-A-M, 5867, and that's northeast of the lower Tigris River, and they were allies of Assyria. There also is Elam, with all her multitude all around her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who are gone down with foreskins, into the lowest part of the land, who caused terror in the land of the living, yet they bear their shame, 3639, with those that go down to the pit. Verse 25, they have put a bed for her, 4904, in the midst of the slain with all her multitude, their graves are all around her, all are with foreskins, slain by the sword. These are uncircumcised people. They were not part of the covenant people of Israel, because the people of Israel don't have foreskins. They're circumcised. Slain by the sword, though their terror was caused in the land of the living, yet they bear their shame with those that go down to the pit, placed in the midst of the slain. Verse 26, There is Meshech, Tubal, and all their multitude. Their graves are all around them, all with foreskins, pierced by the sword, even though they cause terror in the land of the living. I mean, he keeps repeating this thing about foreskins, and all these people that are saying, oh, we don't have to be circumcised. It's all through Scripture. And you're kicking against the pricks. Israelites are to be circumcised. The men are to be circumcised. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no argument. Quit trying to buck the law of Yahweh. Verse 27, and they do not lie with the mighty fallen of those with foreskins, who are gone down to Sheol with their weapons of war. They have put their swords beneath their heads, but their iniquities are upon their bones, though they were a mighty terror in the land of the living. Verse 28, yea, you shall be broken in the midst of those with foreskins again, and shall lie with those slain by the sword. Just because the Jews get circumcised, it doesn't mean that they're Israelites. They try to steal all our birthright. Verse 29, there is Edom, 123, her kings, and all her chieftains. For all their might are laid by those slain by the sword. They shall lie with those with foreskins, with those that go down to the pit. Edomites are not part of the covenant people. They were enemies of Israel and are still enemies today. Verse 30, there are all the princes of the north and all the Zidoni, the Zidonians, 6722, who went down with the slain. They are in shame over their terror and their might. They lie with foreskins with those slain by the sword and bear their shame with those that go down to the pit. Verse 31, Pharaoh shall see them and be consoled over all his multitude. Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword. Because Pharaoh was going to be down in the pit dead too, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 32. Because he put terror in the land of the living, he shall be laid in the midst of those with foreskins, with those slain by the sword. Pharaoh and all his multitude, declares the Lord Yahweh. And this whole chapter 32 is a poetic description of Pharaoh's fate and that of his allies. So we're about quarter till here. I got about 15 minutes. I don't know how long chapter 33 is. It's 33 verses, and I don't think I can get all of it done. So we'll start with chapter 33 tomorrow on Thursday. But this circumcise, the foreskin thing, and all of that, just because the Jews do something that's a commandment to us doesn't make it Jewish. They've tried to steal our birthright and tried to imitate us. You have to understand that their method is to do some of the outward things of the people of Yahweh to mimic, to facilitate their impersonation of Israel. They are not Israel, but they're trying to impersonate Israel. So they will do some things that belong to Israel in order to facilitate that false impersonation that they're doing. They're trying to steal our birthright. They're trying to convince the uneducated, the scripturally uneducated people out there, that they're true Israel, when they are not. And they have succeeded in great part because our people don't study Scripture. Most of our people have never read the Bible. They don't, you know, they go to church. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. And? What do you know about this? Oh, I don't know nothing about that. You'll have to ask the preacher. Well, 10 to 1, the preacher doesn't know either. He's just teaching what he was taught in cemetery school. For those that are brain dead, you can't get a straight answer, and if you bring up any of the truth, they want to fight. Physically want to fight, want to start a fist fight with you right there in church. Well, you got a demon, you're going to hell. Really? Show me in the Bible. I ain't going to show you nothing. I'm going to whop you upside your head. Okay. How do you hold discourse and reason with a person that responds like that? Well, you can't. Their mind is made up. Please don't confuse them with facts. And this is what we in Christian Identity are dealing with daily. Most of those people don't want to know the truth. It would upset their little lives and rock their little spiritual boat. And they might have to change their lifestyle. They might have to wake up and actually learn something, which is too much like work. They're happy in their little world and they're just not going to change. They don't want it. They don't want to change. You cannot convince people like that. Pretty much it's a waste of time. You'll get one or two and count that as a great victory. But you're going to get a lot of grief over it. And we were told in Scripture that the world would hate us. And these are people of the world. They're of the world order in Judeo-Christianity. They're not going to buck their own little social club system that they're into. But it's the one or two that we finally reach, the one or two that are not quite brain dead, that we have to keep on trying with. And the rest, they go by the wayside. And that's unfortunate. It's saddening. You feel sorry for them. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. It's those brain-dead people that would be convinced by those false preachers to turn on us in violence in the last days. They're going to be some of our greatest enemies, our fellow white people will come against us because they're brain dead and they're programmed little robots and they are going to be told that we are evil. They're already being told that we're evil because we teach the truth in scriptures. We rock the boat of Judeo-Christianity. They cannot handle the truth because it shows them to be false teachers. And a lot of them read the Bible, but they can't think beyond the black and white text. They can't examine what it really means. They won't do any research because they've already been told what it means according to the doctrine of whatever denomination they belong to in Judeo-Christianity. They are scared to death to think on their own. They will not go beyond the tenets of their doctrine of their denomination, because they won't be part of the herd at that point. They will lose their security because they cannot stand as an individual Christian on their own. They cannot. And they won't put their so-called faith at risk that they might be looked on with disapproval by members of the herd. Their lives are centered around that. They feel secure because they go to church on Sunday and they went and they made an altar call at one point. And now it's done. It's over. They're finished with it. They don't have to do anything else except show up and put money in the plate, and they're part of the club. And that's very disheartening to us that have gone beyond and have studied. It really upsets us because we care. And we hate to see our brothers and sisters go down to the pit like the people in Ezekiel I just read about. And that's what's going to happen. That they're clinging in hope to a Jewish Jesus, which is untrue. They have been told that the Jews, quote unquote, are God's chosen people, which is untrue. They can look at the description of Adam, the Adamic man, and it doesn't register. They can look at the description of Israel, true Israel, descended from the Adamic man, and it doesn't register. It just, you know, you get blank stares. And direct opposition. Well, you must be a Nazi. No, I'm not any kind of a socialist, including a national socialist. I know there are a lot of people out there that believe in national socialism. I believe in the kingdom of Yahweh with one king, and that is Yeshua. I don't believe in any government by mankind. None. Not a republic, not a democracy, not national socialism, not Marxism, nothing. I don't believe in mankind's government. I have no hope in it. I do not hope in men. I have no hope except in Yeshua. Oh, we need to build a white nation. The ultimate white nation will be the kingdom of Yahweh. You're wasting your time with anything else. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. It's my show. May anger some people. That's tough. I'm not here to be popular. Every instance of mankind's government has failed. Samuel warned the people of Israel what would happen if they took a king from earth. And Yahweh says, don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And they did. And we keep trying to form these governments today instead of bowing down in utter subjection and praying to Yahweh to take us back. Please, Father, forgive us for our foolishness. Rule us. No king but Yeshua. Come back, please, take over. We are failures. We are foolish. Forgive us for our foolishness. No, we don't do that. Well, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Okay, what do you got? Got another man up there. Surrounded by Jews. Oh, he's doing a few things. He's doing this and doing that. And mostly, this presidency, as I see it, again, my worthless opinion, is going to tear this country to shreds. Not because Trump is wrong in some of the things that he's doing, but because he's right in some of the things he's doing. And the children of the devil are going into utter panic mode, and they are going to rip this country apart with violent revolution at the hands of people like Black Lives Matter. And they are subsidized and funded by people like George Soros. And we're going to see escalating violence, which will eventually result in a total upheaval. And then Homeland Security will break out all that 40 caliber ammunition that they had. And I'm going to be up here in my little apartment staying out of the way, and they're just going to start killing one another out there and call the herd. And it doesn't bother me at all. Not righteous government. It's not righteous. It's government by mankind, which isn't righteous. Never will be righteous. No hope of being righteous. Oh, man, I got an AK-47, or I have this, or I have that. You don't put your trust in horses and chariots, in other words, arms. You put your trust in Yahweh. Because the forces that will be brought against us are tanks and drones and machine guns and bulletproof vests and all this stuff. And you shoot one of these guys and he's got a trauma plate and he doesn't go down and he cuts you in half with an automatic weapon issued by the government. What have you done? We have to go through the tribulation. Not that we shouldn't defend ourselves, but the only ones that are going to be protected by Yahweh are those that wish to be obedient to Yahweh and will keep the feasts and the fast of atonement and will comply with the Torah of Yahweh, which has not passed away at the cross. Only those that will be obedient and subjecting themselves in all humility to Yahweh, those will be protected. And anybody else? Sorry, Charlie. What can I say? You know, I can't help you. Well, my hour's about up, so I'm going to hit the bumper music and I'll talk to you on Thursday, starting with chapter 33. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. foe.